Hi, I'm Fran Branch. And like you said, I did do this research in conjunction with several other co-authors, Tracy Woodruff out of USCF and Susanna Mitro and Ami Zoda, also from George Washington University. So I have nothing to disclose. I'm going to do a brief background on vaginal douching and phthalates exposure, and do go over my objectives and methods for this research, as well as the results and discussion. So, I guess the question is, what are phthalates? Well, phthalates are a class of chemicals that are used primarily in industry, and they have a wide range of functions, but they're used primarily in a variety of different products. And they have a ubiquitous presence in the environment. They're a public health concern due to their widespread use and potential toxicity to human health. So diethyl phthalate and diN-butyl phthalate, which will henceforth be known as DEP and DNBP, they're used in a variety of different fragrance personal care products, and the industry adds these to the products in order to retain their scents, in order to fix the scents to the products. And they're found very commonly in colognes and perfumes, lotions, face creams and hand creams, nail polishes, shampoos and conditioners, as well as deodorants. So, I mean, you can see these products and you've probably all used at least one of these just today. So MNBP and MEP, which are metabolites, bodily metabolites of DEP and DNBP. They've been detected in 99% of U.S. women of reproductive age. So that speaks to the ubiquity of these compounds. Also, phthalates are proposed endocrine disrupting compounds, and they've been associated with different adverse human health effects on the reproductive, endocrine, and developmental systems. So the connection between personal care products and phthalates have been well established, but little is known about feminine hygiene products and their association with phthalate exposure. In particular, vaginal douching is a potential unrecognized source for phthalates exposure. Vaginal douching is the practice of intravaginal cleansing with a liquid solution, and that solution is usually made up of fragrances, acetic acid, water, and surfactant detergents. But it's the fragrance that we're most concerned about, because that's what's most commonly used, why phthalates are most commonly used. So, to the health disparities part, black adults tend to have higher levels of DEP metabolites than their white counterparts. And sociocultural differences in product use have been hypothesized to be a driver of this disparity. Likewise, douching is more common among black women. And we suspect that feminine hygiene products may help shape chemical exposure disparities. So that's the purpose of this research. So our objective is to conduct a cross-sectional study to examine the association between self-reported use of vaginal douches with DEP and DEP, as measured by their metabolites, MEP and MNBP. And our second objective is to examine whether differences in douching would partially explain the racial ethnic differences in phthalate metabolite levels. So we're testing whether or not vaginal douching may mediate the effect between race and ethnicity and MEP levels. To do this, we use the National Health and Nutrition Examination Survey, or NHANES, which is a nationally representative survey and which takes random sample of the U.S. civilian population. And it comes in two-year cycles, and we use the 2001 to 2002 and the 2003 and 2004 cycles, because those are the only cycles with the reproductive health questions that we were interested in. And we looked at the in-person interviews and the laboratory tests, which housed the phthalate metabolite data that we needed. And our participants consisted of 371 females with data on both feminine hygiene product use and urinary phthalate levels. We chose races, non-Hispanic white, non-Hispanic black, and Mexican American, and ages 20 to 49, which represents women of reproductive age. For our statistical analysis, we ran several linear regression models using urinary MEP and MNBP separately as dependent variables. And for our main exposure variable is, of course, vaginal douching, but we also ran models using other feminine hygiene products such as tampons, sanitary napkins, feminine sprays and powders, wipes, towelettes, and other products. And for our covariates, we had age, race, BMI, and urinary creatinine, which is a way to control for urinary volume. So to the results. As you can see from this graph, this was a question for whether or not the woman used a douche product in the past month. And as you can see, on the far left, is it your left? Blacks reported a much higher rate of douche use than their white and Mexican American counterparts. So 37% of blacks in this population said that they douched in the past month. There is another question about douching frequency over a period of 6 months, and African Americans also reported higher rates of douching, and they not only reported higher rates, but they reported douching more frequently than their whites and counterparts. So 20% of African Americans reported douching frequently, which is greater twice or greater than twice per month, than 7% or 3% of Mexican American women. So this is an adjusted linear regression model showing our results for both MEP and MNBP. And I like to start out by saying that none of our associations for MNBP were significant, and so we did not continue any further analyses with MNBP. But for MEP, we saw higher rates of phthalate levels for most of the products that we tested. And as you can see from the red box said vaginal douching, those who reported vaginal douche use in the past 2 months, they had a 51% higher phthalate levels than those who did not douche in the past month. Likewise, this is a graph for frequency variable, and you can see a sort of linear trend here. The P trend is with a very significant P trend, and you can see that 36% or women who were occasional douche users, which is once or less than once per month, had 33.6% higher MEP concentrations than those who did not douche at all. And those who were frequent users had 152% higher MEP concentrations than those who did not. And that's a very stark contrast. So as you may recall, our second objective was to determine whether or not douching would partially explain the racial and ethnic differences in phthalate metabolite levels. So in order to test that theory, we ran two linear regression models. The only difference between the two is one has our douching frequency variable and the second has the douching frequency variable and the first one does not. And you can see the difference between the estimates for black. The estimate has dropped, reduced by half, and it's lost its statistical significance. And this suggests that douching attenuates or has a significant role in the relationship between African American and MEP levels. And likewise for Mexican American, the estimate has changed drastically just by adding the one douching frequency variable, and it's lost some of its statistical significance. So in conclusion, douching may be an important source of DEP exposure as measured by MEP metabolites. And occasional douche users had 33% higher MEP concentrations, and frequent users had 152% higher than non-users. And we did also observe a racial ethnic difference in phthalate exposures, as well as feminine hygiene products exposures. So, several strengths and weaknesses with this research. Strengths are that this is a nationally representative population, and our results can be generalized to the general population. And also we use a biomarker for phthalates exposure, which is the gold standard for chemical exposures. But some of the limitations are the fact that this was a cross-sectional study. We only got to have a snapshot of exposure in this case, which doesn't tell us whether or not our exposure preceded our outcome. And likewise, there may have been unaccounted phthalate sources that we were not able to add into our model, such as the lotions and perfumes and deodorants that I mentioned in an earlier slide. We did not have data on those sources, so we cannot include them in the model. There could also be potential misclassification of phthalates exposure because phthalates are metabolized fairly rapidly in the body, and we had measures over a period of 1 month and a period of 6 months, and so there could be some misclassification of exposure there. And lastly, there's a lack of known ingredients in our douche products. We don't know where the participants obtained their douche products, and therefore we cannot say for certain that phthalates were present inside them. So vaginal douching has been discouraged by the American College of Obstetrics and Gynecology. Discouraged not only by this organization, but by other organizations such as the CDC and several other organizations. But vaginal douching has been associated with increased risk of bacterial vaginosis in pelvic inflammatory disease. So douching, regardless of phthalate exposure, is very risky. And also in keeping with the theme of the conference, I just wanted to point out that several studies have found that where you live may also have an important role in douching occurrence and frequency, and that these douching occurrence and frequency may vary by region. So racial and ethnic differences in phthalate exposures that we found in this study are consistent with prior studies that we've read. And research suggests that that douching frequency among black women stems from an underlying stigmatization of vaginal odor. So there's a cultural element as to why African-American women may douche more often than their racial counterparts. But this is a health issue based on just phthalates exposure in general. Maternal concentrations of MEP during pregnancy have been linked to adverse reproductive and developmental outcomes. And so therefore, this could lead to disparities in douching. Disparities in douching could lead to other potential disparities in health outcomes that are associated with CEP exposure. So any future work should confirm our findings and include an assessment of other endocrine disrupting compounds that may be in vaginal douches, and more studies on the adverse reproductive health consequences of chemical exposures originating from feminine hygiene products should be conducted. So that's it. I'd like to acknowledge my school, the Milken Institute, and my funding sources. And do you have any questions?